B-Pod Studios.
September the 15th. What do you got?
Falcons playing at Dome, correct?
Yes.
DeSean Jackson's putting up 150 that day.
I love it.
That's an Eagles win.
I'll agree. 2-0. I do fear a little bit that the Falcons on the comeback.
Nah.
But I'm going to go with you, and we'll take the birds to start off at 2-0. By the way, it's high noon across the Delaware Valley. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. We're a Beasley Media Group station. That's right, broadcasting live from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. Week 3. Oh, September the 22nd. Back home at the Link. 1 o'clock, bright and early. Game time temps, 71 degrees, sun splashed afternoon against the Lions and Matthew Stafford on Fox. 3-0.
That's a Stafford 3 pick day.
That is. There we go. Oh, here it is. Short week. We were just talking about it. Thursday night football at the Mecca. Eagles at Lambeau on Thursday night. Rodgers on the comeback trail. What are you thinking?
I would love to go 16-0, but that might be the first L of the year.
No, that's right. If you're a veteran of the W's and L's, that has to be the L. Even though, if you remember during the Super Bowl run, there was similarly a game against the Carolina Panthers.
Thursday Night Football, right?
On the road. And when we did the W's and L's, we all said L until they won it. Following Sunday, back at the Link, we usher in the month of October with the J-E-T-S, Jets, on CBS, Le'Veon, the kid. No, I think that's an Eagles win.
That's 4-1.
Yeah. Give me that again. That makes me laugh. Now, arguably, the toughest part of the schedule. We started a little bit of a road swing. Sunday, October 13th, against our new rivals. We have now played this team 3 years in a row. And we hate their fans. Hate them. Eagles at Minnesota. I almost want to go back there just to get back into it, those people. It's Eagles at Vikings, 1 o'clock. Andrew, how do you have it?
I want to say win, but I might go L because they got the Cowboys the following week. It's a little look-ahead situation there.
All right, so you got 4-2.
Yes, as much as I hate the Vikings, Kirk Cousins stinks. I hate that team.
Yeah,
I hate that coach.
I got win.
Okay.
I got win.
I hope.
I got win. But you're not going to like from here on out. 5-1.
Uh-oh.
But then they go into Dallas on a Sunday night. October 20th, Sunday Night Football, Eagles at Cowboys. Andrew?
Well, because they lose to the Vikings in a look-ahead game, they have to come back and win the next week, don't they?
Right.
That's a win in Dallas.
All right. You got the win. I, unfortunately, have a loss.
Uh-oh.
I think they split with the Cowboys. And I think that one is a slip-up game. As I do the next one, at Buffalo, October 27th. The chill in northern New York. 1 o'clock, you're coming off the Cowboy game. It would be the third straight road game. Unfortunately, I think the Birds lose and go to 5-3, Andrew.
Third straight road game, huh? I'm not worried.
You got the win?
I got the win.
I like it.
That's Jim Schwartz's old stomping grounds, man.
So I think the Bills catch him. I think it's a bad spot. It's a nasty spot. But then we turn the calendar. And now we go to November. Ha-ha, rematch. Revenge on the mind for the Monsters of the Midway. However, the Birds get it together. And they once again trounce the Bears. Jordan Howard. Two touchdowns against his old squad. Give me the Birds and are out.
I'm sorry. I think I'm going Chicago that game.
Wow, revenge.
The sports gods gave Chicago the double middle finger with the double doink. They'll help them out during the regular season.
Oh, all right.
So I got them 6-3.
So there we are. We have reached week 10. The bye week. It's a perfect time for a bye. Right in the middle of the season. 9 weeks. Bye. Rest. Love it. So we each have them at 6-3 as we go to week 11. Sunday, November 17th. Oh, the Patriots! 425 on CBS. Oh, the link's rocking. It's dark. Lights are on at the link. They're nasty. The crowd's in a froth. And I have the Eagles beating the Patriots.
I agree.
And I think they actually claim a beating.
Now, Doug is actually the opposite of Andy. He is not good out of the bye week. He's only got one win out of the bye.
I don't put anything to that.
You probably put it toward Andy. Out of the bye week for Andy.
Yeah, I'm on it.
That was a lock. But I got the Eagles winning. So we're both 7-3.
Eagles and Patriots.
No Nick Foles, though.
Wow. No Nick Foles is right.
You run a Philly special with Wentz? Nah, just a read option. Broken back and all.
Oh, that's great. How about this one? Following the Patriots, Sunday night football at the lake. The Seahawks. Here comes Russ. Eagles and Seahawks. Back to back. They take them out. 8-3, Andrew.
I'm with you. I think this is where they start their run. Especially because I have that loss going into the bye week, right? So I have the loss going into the bye. They have that week off. They get back. Doug rips them a new one. They beat the Patriots. Then they start moving.
And this, mind you, is where the schedule becomes really favorable.
Exactly.
Schedule's nice. Because then December 1, Thanksgiving weekend, Andrew will be a married man by December 1.
That's weird.
You will.
The day the Eagles play the Miami Dolphins, I'll be married.
That's amazing. And by the way, you missed out on the sports trip.
Yeah,
I missed out on the wedding.
It's a shame.
I can't believe it came out December.
Yeah, out of all the weekends it could have been.
It's unbelievable. So we had the Eagles-Dolphins as a sports trip planned with the great people from Philly Sports Trips. And so we're all set. You know, we're all ready to go. And you get married because I'm thinking, you know, you can join me and the bro come down. The three of us, we get Jason, whatever. Everybody comes out. Go do South Beach. But you got a little bit more important duties.
She might be okay to postpone.
Yeah.
I think.
Go for it, Rob.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Hey, babe.
Hey, hon.
Babe.
I know the wedding's important and all, but come on, Birds, Dolphins, Miami.
So that's a win. The Dolphins are horrible.
Yes.
So we'll have a big win, celebrate Andrew's wedding, a big win, followed by the following Monday, December the 9th, back at the link, 8:15, ESPN, Monday Night Football, with a bunch of stiffs calling the game. Got to be a win.
Yep, 10-3.
Giants at that point, trying to figure out who the quarterback is going to be. That will be an Eagle route.
And that's a, even though I know you don't like the black jersey, that's a blackout night right there.
I hate the black jersey.
Yeah, but
jersey.
It's Monday night. Football. It's going to be blackout jersey night.
All right. Then on a short week, go down to RFK. Come down to Redskins Park and facing the Redskins. 1 o'clock, Fox, Andrew.
See, now this is where it's weird, because I have four straight wins.
No, this is the come down. I have a loss here.
So you and I are on the same page.
Yeah.
So I got four straight wins right now.
This is a, listen, they don't have beaten the Patriots, the Seahawks, at Miami, Giants at home Monday night. The perfect time for a clunker, right? So, loss. 10-4. Followed by, right before Christmas, Santa's in the stands. All kind of
Jeff
Santa
Garcia.
Claus. Right?
Merry All Christmas, kind of Philadelphia.
Santa Claus is in the stands. Eagles, Cowboys, 425 on Fox. No way they lose that game.
No, I got them sweeping the Cowboys this year.
So we both have them 11-5.
Screw that team. Those Cowboys.
And the last game, week 17, because the Eagles will have clinched the division, they will be already, I don't know if they're playing for the bye or not, but it could be Eagles and Giants to end the year, and you know who could be starting?
Sudfeld. Nate the Great.
Yes. And the Eagles win behind Sudfeld 17-6.
An ugly game.
Yes.
I put them down as a loss.
You got a loss, you got 11-5?
I'm with you. I mean, they clinched that point. So I'm 11-5.
All right, so I got 12-4, which could be 11-5, depending on the last game. We kind of right around the same thing. All right, let's go to schedule. So we will continue with the Ben stuff. We'll get back to the phones. And then if you have any thoughts on the schedule, please let me know a little bit later on. I want the fans to do it, see what you think.
Now, here's one thing. This is WNL's part one. We haven't done the look at the other schedules to see when their bye weeks are. Because that could go to it.
Correct.
Like if the Cowboys are coming off a bye and the Eagles are facing the Cowboys, that could be part of the equation.
Yes. Yes. All right. Let's do this. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. You want to get in? We'll talk a little about the schedule. We got the game 3 tonight, which we got to kind of dissect. And we have the whole Ben stuff. And I want to throw in an Embiid thing off of our interview with our discussion with Chris Broussard. But first, let's tell you about the Uncles. It's Jeep Freedom Days at Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. You can save thousands on a new Jeep 4x4 Ram pickup right now. You can save up to 30% off of MSRP on a new truck, van, or Jeep. And that is savings as much as 15 grand. From Philadelphia's original Jeep dealer, family is proud to be family owned and operated for 3 generations only in family. You'll get the lowest prices plus oil change, state inspections, loaner cars at no charge of family. Your buying experience is always fun, fast, and friendly. The best service after the sale. You got to see the uncles, man. I'm telling you, once you meet the uncles, Greg and Paul, you will never go anywhere else. You're going to fall in love with them like I did. Then they'll adopt you. That's it. Just remember, Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, ask the uncles. You're more than a customer, indeed family. In the Philadelphia Airport Auto Mall, online at any time at familyautos.com. See the uncles for details.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Earlier today with Gargano and Mertidis.
And here's the deal. I know there's all talk. Brooklyn's talking tough. The Vegas line is low. They got to smoke this team. They got to come out and they need to duplicate and replicate what they did in game two. This team is inferior. I don't care what you said. I love D'Angelo Russell, good player. Spencer Dinwiddie is a nice player. But give me a break. They got to go in, and they got to smack that team. That team is an inferior team to them. And it's all well and good that they responded at home after the clunker of game one, but now they got to do it again.
That show recap was brought to you by Dietz and Watson's Real Philly Deli Hoagie Guide. With your chance to win great prizes just for eating delicious hoagies from the area's best Real Philly Delis, visit realphillydeli.com. Now, here are Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertidis.
All right. Welcome back, Midday Show. So I was looking at the first thing I do is when I look at the regular schedule is for the league. I like looking at the Thanksgiving Day. You like the Thanksgiving Day, Andrew?
Yeah, of course.
See, it's funny, but sports is paramount to my holidays. To maximize my enjoyment of the holidays, sports is necessary.
Sixers Christmas Day?
Right.
Like, there's nothing better. Right. I didn't get to experience a lot of that growing up. But the last couple of years, I've had Sixers Christmas Day, and it's been amazing.
Yeah, that's right. Sixers Christmas Day is awesome. It actually really is great. So, Bears-Lions. It's a good game. I think that was that last year? Bears-Lions? I want to think they played last year. Bills Cowboys. Let's go Buffalo. Bills Cowboys on Christmas, on Thanksgiving Day. And the Saints Falcons. I don't like that game.
You're right. It was Bears Lions last year. Bears won 23-16. So. Falcons Saints actually played last year too.
Yeah, I
in
thought
New
so
Orleans
too.
Saints won 31-17.
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that again. And you know what I don't like about it? I don't like a dome for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving night. Too antiseptic.
I hear you on that.
I hate domes.
See, I was praying for the Thanksgiving game.
Oh, for you?
Would have gotten that out of the way.
God,
you know?
It would have been great for you. It would have been fantastic to get that.
That just means I'll be drinking more the next day. That's all.
Yeah, it's true. You know, it's weird because the way the calendar falls, no Christmas football.
Did they play on Christmas Day last year or Christmas Eve?
I think it was Christmas
Day. The Raiders Day. Game.
No, that was 2 years ago. That was Super Bowl year. Christmas Eve. That was Super Bowl year. That was, you remember, Nick Foles looked shaky in that game. It was cold and blustery, and they really didn't need it. But Nick didn't play well, and everybody was afraid. That's what that game was. The kickoff. I like Bears-Packers. I go for that. So you have Bears-Packers as the Thursday. The first Sunday nighter is an awesome game. It's Pittsburgh-New England. And then they do, and I still don't understand why they wouldn't do doubleheaders on Monday night every Monday night. Wouldn't you love that?
Yes, but the first broadcast crew is already terrible.
No, listen.
The second one's always awful.
No, they're terrible. The broadcast crew's awful. But you got Texans, Saints, 7:10, followed by Broncos, Raiders at 10:20.
Yeah.
You're out?
Broncos, Raiders.
It's still Raiders.
Raiders are going to be an entertaining team to watch this year. Broncos.
Yeah, we got Mike Mayock.
Joe Flacco in Denver year one.
Yes. And we got Mike Mayock.
Right. Yeah, but he's not going to be on the field.
Yeah, but you got a root for Mike.
Yes.
A little affinity toward the Raiders.
See the Groove Dog in the visor?
Yeah. It's not bad. I'm looking forward to that game. All right, let's get to a couple people. And then I want to, if you're going to do the Ben contract, so I offer the Ben contract to you guys, particularly you doubters, where I'm pleading. I'm not going to argue with you today. I'm just pleading with you. I'm asking you whether or not you would sign a deal. Just show, in a show of patience, in a show of being a great sportsman, I ask you to look and give him until next July. That would give him 3 full seasons of play and 3 postseasons. And then accurately judge him. Then if you want to kick him out, you want to trade him, whatever it is, we'll talk. But I suspect after next July, July of 20, that you will change your mind. Let's see what Gerald has to say. Gerald, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, I got to say I disagree. I think...
I'm not arguing, I'm just asking you.
Well, Ben has all the potential in the world. We keep looking at that potential and certain things he's great at. The problem that we have is he has not progressed at all this year. He hasn't progressed at all.
Yes, he has. Come on.
No, he hasn't.
Yes, he has.
How he's progressed.
I mean, come on. He looks way better than he did last year. His overall game. Oh, you're going to go look at stats? Stats are meaningless. Come on. You got Jimmy Butler and Tobias. Like, I hate dumb arguments. And giving me stats is dumb. You're smarter than that. Come on.
Okay. So you tell me what he did in the playoff game the other night, 2 nights ago.
Dude, I saw it. I saw game two.
Again, so he hasn't progressed. He's still, at best, when the pressure's on, when we're in the half-court offense.
Okay. I don't want to argue with you. I'm asking you to look at the situation, look at a player who's ascending, and I'm asking you, can you give him until next year? Before you criticize him and dagger him like you're doing right now.
No, here's the thing. I'm not saying that he's terrible. That's not daggering him. I'm saying that I think he's overhyped. He's a good player. He's not great. And we
I got to go. Blah, 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 blah. I got to go. Overhyped. He's a young player. And saying, I'd love to talk to you about it. But unfortunately, I got a guest on the line. My former colleague from the New York Post, who covers the Nets right now for the Post on the Comcast Business Hotline, Brian Lewis joins us. Brian!
What's up, cuz?
How you been, man?
All right, I can't complain, man. Nobody listen anyway, so I can't complain. It's all good.
It's good. How's who's in charge? Matt's in charge now of the sports department?
Chris Shaw, who you mayor.
Chris!
Shaw is the boss.
Chris is the boss. I love it. Chris was my personal editor with the when we used to do the takeouts and do the Sunday features.
Yeah.
You got to give Chris a big hug for me.
I'll do it. He's the head man. I'll tell him you said hi.
Oh, that's awesome. So what do you make? First of all, give us some insight into the Nets and how is Brooklyn feeling after the Sixers came back with the vengeance in game two?
Well, I mean, I think, listen, they were embarrassed at the third quarter, as well they should be. I mean, you cough up 51 points. They were, you know, that stings your pride a little bit. That's the micro sense. In the macro sense, obviously, if you told them going in, you're going to get out of Philly 1-1, they would have taken that. You know, take home court advantage back. They would have been happy with that.
Sure.
Are they happy with the way they acquitted themselves in the third quarter of that game? No. And they shouldn't be. But, you know, hey, you know, short memory, turn the page, get to Brooklyn 1-1, they'll take that.
Do they still feel like they have a fighter's chance in the series?
Yes, they do. Absolutely, they do. And that doesn't mean that they don't, that means I'm not saying that they're disrespecting Philadelphia or they think the Sixers aren't any good, but they're confident, and they were confident going in that they had a fighter's chance in this. They were confident after game one that they had a fighter's chance in this. And nothing that happened in game two changed that other than the fact, like I said, you know, they fell asleep for 12 minutes and the Sixers took advantage of that and did what they're supposed to do. The Sixers were desperate in that game as well. Yeah, they should have been.
Yes, they were.
Brett Brown should be desperate in that
game.
So
that's right.
The Sixers did what they were supposed to do in that game. Now is coming back to Barclays Center, and the Nets figure, all right, now we have to handle our business at home. Now, I think they can win.
Now, let me ask you, because, look, so you cover this team. You're with this team. You know them better than I do. I just see such a great disparity between talent. In fact, you know, game one was an embarrassment for the Sixers. I thought this series was five max going into it. Do you think that they are better than that? Do you think they have about better? They saw the chance to win the thing. What's your read on it?
I mean, listen, the Sixers have more talent than they do. I'm not going to sit here and say anything other than
right.
that. The Sixers have more talent than they do. And if you're just talking about starting five, it's not even comparable. It's night and day. Now, what I would say is the Nets match up well with the Sixers. See, the Nets could have very easily been playing the Bucks, right? That was a terrible matchup. They also could have ended up with Toronto. They actually thought they'd have a fighter's chance with Toronto, maybe. But the Sixers, that's a good matchup for them. Because their strengths are the Sixers' weaknesses. Now, I'm not talking about they can match up in terms of, like, girth and
well,
size.
Well, I was going to say, in the front court, I mean, the Sixers have that team all day.
That's not even a fair fight.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why. I mean, and if they actually play defense and fight through a pick and roll, and you saw Simmons do that the other night, where he's going to make it hard for D'Angelo to shoot over.
Yeah, I'm not even talking in terms of, I mean, obviously the Sixers are bigger. If this is a fight, that's not like Hagler-Hearns. That's like Hearns-Tyson.
Right.
It's not even a fair fight. What I'm saying is the Sixers, like if I asked you the Sixers week, I don't want to speak for you, but I would assume you would say, well, you know, their bench could use work.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and they can't, and they have trouble guarding people.
Yep.
You know, if you have a scoring lead guard that can put the ball on the ground and go by people and can dribble drive, they have a little problem because JJ isn't good with that.
That's right, Brian.
McConnell, terrible guarding that. So those are the Nets' strengths. If you look and you say, whatever, five, six, seven, eight things we're going to grade the Nets on, I'm going to tell you that their strength is their depth. They have a bench. And their strength is they have three guards that can put the ball on the deck and go by people. For most of the year, they had two because Caris LeVert, you know, had the dislocated foot and cost him 42 straight games. And then when he came back, he had to kind of find his rhythm. So they went through the season with two of them. They had D'Angelo and they had Spencer. Now when you have Caris LeVert playing kind of almost to his pre-injury level.
Yeah, he's a good player.
You have three.
Yep.
Now they have three. So if I say, well, what are the things that the Nets could look and say, hey, we're actually better than the Sixers at? Those things happen to be Philadelphia's weaknesses. That's why they think they have a puncher's chance. Are they more talented? No. They got a better record? No. Did they have a better season? No. But, you know, you covered enough fights. You know better than I do that fights is styles, right?
Yeah, matchups. I'm a big believer in
style
that.
Style matches up okay. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, talking to Brian Lewis, does a wonderful job covering the Nets for the New York Post. My former colleague, doing some big things for the Post. So, Brian, what are they saying about the Embiid elbow? And the fact that they were laughing, Ben and Joe, about the elbow.
Right. Here's the thing. Jared Allen is about the nicest kid you will ever want to meet, right? Jared is, you know, he takes the high road and he says, listen, I don't think this was done with malice. I don't think this was done with the intent to hurt me or was cheap or anything like that. I'm just saying that some of the Nets felt some kind of way about the aftermath of it. You know, watching them on the podium, you know, a little bit of giggling and laughing.
Right,
and
right, right.
That was the part. They weren't saying, oh, yeah, we think Embiid was trying to hurt. Not like that. You know, he's a big man. He's going to pivot. Elbow is going to hit people. It happens.
Right.
You know, you get on with it. I think they just felt some kind of way in the aftermath about the giggling and the laughter.
The giggling was a bit disrespectful.
That's what they're saying. They're not saying, oh, yeah, right. You know, he was out to get him. No, they weren't saying any of that. Uh-huh. They just thought, all right, this is a little disrespectful. You're here laughing after, you know,
I kind of
put your elbow in his eyeball. That's what they felt some kind of way about.
I feel it. So how about Jared Dudley? And so did you hear a response from Ben?
No, I didn't.
All right, so this is good because you can it's quick response. Andrew, can we play this for Brian? So, just so the audience knows, Jared Dudley called Ben an average player in the half court. And then Ben was asked about it this morning at shoot around, and this is what he had to say. It's coming from Jared Dudley, is what he said. And I'll do it after the quote. And he said in a dismissive tone.
I like it. I'm all for this.
Right?
What? I'm all for this. Yeah, I think this is funny stuff. I think this is great. To preface this by saying, I don't think Jared Dudley's implying that literally Ben Simmons is some middling, you know, fair to average basketball player. Right? I don't think that's what he means. What all he's saying is, that the guy is damn near unguardable in transition. And if they're going to let him run up and down the trial up and down the court, they're going to lose because Simmons is going to get whatever he wants and they won't be able to stop him because he's that good. What they're saying is, you know, because as you see, he's unwilling to shoot a jumper.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That if you can make sure he's not running up and down the court in transition, and if that even means taking a cynical soccer foul, right, before he can get out doing it, that then he's not as dangerous a player. He goes from being all world to being an only okay scorer. That's what he's saying, which is all true. I mean, none of that is inaccurate. But you know how it is. You know, if this was coming from LeBron,
right,
if this was coming from
right.
Durant,
Right.
People wouldn't be triggered by it.
That's it.
Right?
That's it.
But because it's coming from a guy who's on the bench at a 500 team, isn't starting, and is on the tail end of his career, right? They're triggered. I get it. I understand all that.
Well, I got to tell you, I loved Ben's response by it. And see, here's the thing. He won't shoot, and we know that. But what he can do to negate that is he can attack the rim. And I think that that was what was different on Tuesday, was that he was aggressive taking the ball to the basket. And if he's aggressive taking the ball to the basket or setting up in a low block when Embiid's up top, then he can be effective in the half court.
Well, I agree. But see, this is what I'm saying. It's never like black and white. It's always shades of gray, right?
Yep.
So Simmons played a poor game in the opener, right? So a player that good, right, you assume he's going to be motivated and come back and put
his game. Yeah, he gets embarrassed that way without a doubt.
Right.
Dead right.
Secondly, this is not a regular season where you play Philadelphia and you don't see them again for 2 months. This is the playoffs where guys are going to make adjustments from game to game. And you make an adjustment, then they make an adjustment to you, then you make an adjustment to them. So you assume Simmons was going to come back, and he had a much better game in game. He said he was going to be more aggressive, right, because he, quote, only had Jared Dudley and that kid on him.
I love it.
Right? So dismissively talking about Rodion's group.
Yep.
Which is, again, this is great stuff.
What's the correct pronunciation again?
Rodion's Karooks.
Karooks. Karooks. Right. I always butcher it on purpose.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you know, you assume that this was the way this was going to be. Now it's, you know, now the Nets,
it's getting fun,
have to respond, you know, to Simmons. They have to find a way to keep him in check.
Yeah,
now, also, remember, Dudley didn't play in game two, and Dudley actually was on Simmons for a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
He didn't start on him, but he was actually on him for a reasonable amount of time in game one. He wasn't around in game two. So now, you know, he's listed as probable. I would be shocked
if he doesn't play.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I don't pay any, at this point, I don't pay any attention to this stuff. He's questionable, probably. He ain't playing.
Brian, it's great to talk to you, man. It's great. Oh, been a long time. I wish, tell everybody at the paper I said hello, okay?
I will do so.
And we'll probably bug you next week to get you back on.
I'll be around anytime, man.
All right, brother. Great to keep it up. Keep up the good work, all right?
All right, thanks.
Thanks, buddy. There he is, Brian Lewis from the New York Post, my former colleague. Let me tell you about Parks Casino, because we'll be there tonight, Cuz's Corner. Got a double shot right leading up to game three. What a great day. Great sports day. The NBA playoffs are going just wild. We got baseball, Phil's Rocks, in fact, tonight. Bet with the best. My casino and sports book of choice, the sports book at Parks Casino, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Plus the South Philly race and sports book, the Oaks race and sports book right off of 422 in Oaks, right off the expressway. You can plan all of your bets with their free app. It's the Parks Casino and Sportsbook Bet Slip Builder app. Parlays and props, teasers, futures, spreads, money lines. Bet at any of the three locations. Cash your winning tickets at any of their three locations. Get your cash right away. You're on the way to any of the games. Make sure you stop by, and it's perfect time. You can watch the games. Now they're on the road. You can watch them. Great sports book at Parks Casino. Any of the spots. Bet with the best. Parks Casino. Go to parkscasino.com for details. Must be 21. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Take it away, Nat.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Unbelievable.
All right, midday show. So, interestingly, very few of the Ben critics will take the contract. Early on, I offered the contract. Just wait, give him one more year, one more postseason. So, it would be July of 20 or June of 20 before you want to make your final decision on Simmons. And the critics won't, they won't do it.
I told you.
They won't do it.
The people that are already out on him are not jumping back in. Unless he starts chucking up threes like Steph Curry.
But here's the thing I don't understand. Like, and you know what I hate? Like our last dude from Buffalo. He wants to talk about stats. Now, why would you? That is such a bad argument. Like, you look at the stats, the team is entirely different. You're playing with Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, and Joe, as opposed to Redick. I mean, as opposed to Covington, Dario, Fultz. It's a completely different team.
It's like if you based Brett Brown's overall record and that was your decision if he was a good coach or not.
Like, you know what I hate in sports is stats. I swear to God, when we do this with making arguments and looking at players, you stat people, there's a time to use stats and a time not to. And you got to know, you got to read through stats. Like, why would you go, well, he hasn't improved? Well, yes, he has. I mean, you can't watch him and just with your eye. Like, if you watched him and you're not a hater, you at least go, yeah, he's improved. His game's maturing. Yeah, he still can't shoot. He's still unwilling to shoot. But his game's starting to move in that direction.
And if you want to go stats, which he was, his point total went up this year.
Yeah,
rebound total went up this year.
I would not. I wouldn't do that because I think it's incorrect.
Right.
To do the stat thing. I think you got to watch a player like him, and it's your overall take on him. Now, look, he was terrible in game one. Without a doubt, I'm not flexing my muscles after game two. I mean, he should have came back. I was hard on him after game one, too. In the same way, tonight, he's got to come out tonight, and he's got to be the same player he was Monday night. No excuses. What was the poll today?
We'll get into that in a little bit.
Uh-huh. Eagles schedule related?
Yeah.
Well, you're being coy.
Oh, yeah, we don't have a poll up yet. Just now.
Oh, all right.
You told me I got to listen until we figure one out. Develop it through the show.
I'm listening.
I'm learning.
Good. Well, you're great.
By the way.
You don't have to worry about it.
By the way, remember how I mentioned earlier when we did the W's and L's that I think the Eagles lose to the Bears going into the bye week?
Yeah.
You know, they got their sights set on the bye week.
Yeah.
The Cowboys go into the bye following the first Eagles-Cowboys game. So if I go by that logic and I have the Eagles winning that game, even though it's in Dallas, the Cowboys go into the bye the following week after that Eagles game. So I think they have their sights set on the bye.
I mean,
drop one of the birds.
Listen, quite frankly, the Eagles should beat Dallas in that game.
Yes.
I have a loss only because I needed to create some drama and, you know, I don't want to go.
You can't go 14-2.
Right. Yeah, you got to have some semblance of reality. So I have a split with them. And the problem is, I don't see them splitting with Washington or the Giants. Now, I created something with Washington. I honestly believe they can beat New England, Seattle back-to-back. That's November 17th, November 24th. I really believe that. Let's go to Nick in Collegeville. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nick G.
Gentlemen, Andrew, Antonio, how are you, buddy?
What do you say, my brother?
I'm good, man. I can't wait till tomorrow afternoon just because, Good Friday service down at the Basilica. It's literally, you know, Whether you're not that religious or not, if you can do the Basilica Good Friday service, just like.
Yes, rather, Good Friday always. It's supposed to rain. Always overcast and rainy on Good Friday.
Yeah, which, you know, so you're indoors for 2 hours, so it doesn't really matter.
No, I just something that when I think of Good Friday, I always think of that.
Yeah. Did your mom or grandmama have to, like was it quiet time Friday afternoon? From like
you weren't allowed to speak.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, like tomorrow, it's kind of tough not to talk during the show.
Sorry, Grandma. Sorry, Mom. You know what?
But it was when Jesus was on the cross from noon to three. It was quiet time.
Right, quiet time. So I'll move into sports, even though it's, it doesn't mean anything at the moment, but it does. It does.
I feel it.
It's full sport. Yeah. The biggest thing I worry about tonight is before I sign a contract is. Vegas, like he likes, I guess Vegas likes,
I know
D'Angelo and Nurse over Brett and what Ben. Like Vegas telling us, they believe Game One is more of what the series is going to be versus Game Two, which is scary. Now I know it's first game at home, so maybe Vegas is saying if they take one, it's going to be this one. But
I don't see it. See, here's the thing: I don't see it. It's only 2.5, and you're right. It's up now, Tyrone. What is it now? No, it's 3.5. It's a good sign,
okay,
Nick.
Okay, it's a good sign. It moved a full point on game day, So, look, I'll sign a contract, but I believe that we just, I hate to say this before the series is even over with the season. I just think we might need a new coach because Ben had, he had Jimmy Buckets and Tobias there, and I know they didn't really get the practice, and it was two add-ons, 4 weeks apart, so you really can't get any chemistry. But it seemed like, Brett Brown is just, it seems like Chip Kelly just doesn't want to bend. Chip now, he did game two, but it's just a shame that we didn't see more of that during the season.
I know, I hear you, man. You're not wrong. It almost felt like he woke up and realized that, oh my God, my job is on the line. Yeah. What are you guys doing?
I can't go dribble handoff in the playoffs because my team, it just,
Well, did you, by any chance, because you're a really good listener, did you hear the interview with Chris Broussard, the conversation?
Oh, absolutely. I turned the lights on. I made sure I didn't get out of my car for that one. I missed a half of the last one, but, like, I like Broussard. I listen to him on his podcast occasionally. When I want more in-depth, like, you know, domestic coverage of non-Philadelphia, team, but not from Philly.
No, Chris is good. I mean, we were in New York together covering sports, and I thought he was really interesting because here's a guy that's looking at this thing from the outside, and he said, I don't think that Brett is a good tactician.
I agree. You know, you had a show, I would say, about 2 months ago where you said, is it more important for Brett just to generate some more chemistry and let him run wild on the court versus sitting down basically in a classroom and X-ing and O-ing and doing more technical stuff?
Yes.
And I just think they need a little more technical assistance because, like you said, if you look at the starting five, like, you X-ing and O-ing and go, wow, I like what I got. I get Jimmy Buckets who can handle.
That was after a conversation I had with a friend of mine, Gary Smith from Sports Illustrated. He used to work.
Okay.
He used to write for Sports Illustrated. Gary was on, and he talked about Brett's EQ. But in this case, I don't know that Brett's EQ can outdo his lack of strategy. I think that's the biggest question.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go stats, but wins and losses in the last 3 to 4 months shows that the EQ is not what's coming right now. Looks like we need more like I hate to say one of Jimmy Buckets' old coaches, but what's his name? It was Chicago. Maybe something like that is more of what
Tibbs. Yeah,
I'm with you. Hard, but just to X and O it.
Yeah, Nicky, so, good stuff, brothers. Happy Easter.
Bonaplasca the family.
Bonaplasca to you too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.